Hi, Tim.
Right. Okay. So the discourse that we're looking at is one from 1969 from Chag HaShavuot. It was said on the second day of Shavuot. And then it was edited by the Rebbe and it came out in 1990. So it was published 32 years ago. Additional footnotes and changing things around a bit by the Rebbe and editing. So the first thing we're going to do is look at the text, the relevant text. Now, well, the text is simply the text, the beginning of the Ten Commandments, and the whole discourse is about the meaning. It's actually about the meaning of one word. Vayedaber Elokim, God spoke, et kol hadvarim ha'ele, all these words, le'mos saying. Now the whole focus of the discourse is on this word saying. Let's see what they're... Okay, so that's... it's a note, but it doesn't seem very relevant to our discussion now. So the thing about the word saying is that normally we have a verse like, you see, and then it continues. In fact, this is important. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. I am the Lord your God. Asher hotzeiticha me'eretz Mitzrayim, who took you out of the land of Egypt. Mebeit havadim, from the house of bondage. And then that is the first commandment, which is to recognize God. Then there's lo yiyeh lecha elokim acherim al panai, you should have no other gods than me. And it talks more about not serving idols, sculpted images and so on, not to bow down to them or serve them. And then there's lo tisa et shem Hashem elokecha lashav, you shouldn't take God's name in vain. Then there's remember the Sabbath day. And then there is kabed et avicha ve'et imecha, honor your father and mother. And then lo tirtzach, don't murder, lo tinaf, don't commit adultery, lo tignov, don't steal. Or the sages explain it means don't kidnap. Don't steal, of course, is also an important law. Lo tanevrecha et shaker, and don't give false witness against your friend or against another person. And then don't desire the house of another person, his wife, his servant, his maidservant, his ox, his donkey, anything that belongs to another person. So that's the Ten Commandments. And that is going to be read in the Torah on Sunday, the first day of Shavuot. And it's the reading of the Torah, and the sages tell us it's a very important thing, if one possibly can, to come to the synagogue and hear the reading of the Ten Commandments, which is like experiencing them all over again, as it was the very first time, with all the tremendous intensity that is described in this chapter. Chapter 19, actually, the verses before, which talks about the way in which the Ha Sinai Hashan Kulo, the whole Mount Sinai was smoking, mipnei asher yarad alav Hashem ba'esh, because God had descended on it in fire. And the smoke from the mountain rose up like the smoke pouring out from a furnace. And the whole mountain was trembling. And the sound of the shofar was getting stronger and stronger. Moshe would speak, and God would answer him in thunder. So that whole atmosphere, the sages tell us, is there when we hear the reading of the Ten Commandments on Sunday. So the Lubavitcher Rebbe very much emphasized people who try to go to the, should try to go to the synagogue if they possibly can. Of course, not breaking other laws, like not driving on Shabbat or driving on the festival, but if one can, go to the synagogue and hear the Ten Commandments. So if one can't go, one will have to imagine it. One could read the Ten Commandments on Sunday morning imagine the way in which this tremendous revelation of God is taking place every year when we read the Ten Commandments. Now, the emphasis of the discourse is on this word, le'emor, saying. God spoke all these words saying. Usually, when it says, it very often says saying. This is a very common construction in the Torah. And it's usually something like, God spoke to Moses saying. And the inference is that God said something or other to Moses, and he said, you have to say this to the Jewish people, or you have to say this to Aaron or to someone. So saying means God is saying these words and they're going further. Now the question is, where are they going further? Because this is not an instance, the giving of the Torah is not an instance where God is speaking alone to Moses. And it's where he's speaking to Moses and the whole Jewish people. And so if you said, all right, so he's saying it to the whole Jewish people who are there, and they have the duty to say it to the future generations of the Jewish people. But there is a famous tradition that all the souls of the Jewish people who would ever be among the Jewish people in the future, whoever would be born, all the proselytes who would ever come to Judaism, they were all there at Mount Sinai. Everyone was there at Mount Sinai. So in that case, that raises the question again, what does le'emor mean? What does it mean saying? So that's what the discourse is going to be discussing. And so we'll sing the mimer, the melody of the discourse. So here we have the discourse of the second day of Shavuot, 1969. Vaydaber Elokim et kol hadvarim ha'eleh le'emor. God spoke all these words saying. And it's known the question of what does it mean saying? The Ma'achah shekol Yisrael, since the whole Jewish people, the souls of all the generations ahead, including the proselytes, they were all there, but Maimon HaSinai, they were all together there at Mount Sinai. And they heard the Ten Commandments from God himself. Mal pedish le'emor, what does it mean, saying? Because le'emor, saying, suggests le'emor la'chedim, it's to say to other people. So who are the other people they're supposed to say it to? ונקודת הבאה בזה, now the basic explanation of this, שמזה מביא כתוב את החידוש במתן תורה. In this point, we actually see what is special about the giving of the Torah. Now, there's a very well-known tradition, which is very puzzling often, that before the Torah was given, the patriarchs studied the Torah. So if we have that idea, if we accept this idea, that some, you see, there's the Torah is described by the sages as preceding the world. Alpayim shana kadma Torah le'olam. The Torah was 2,000 years before the world. This actually came up a little bit in the discourse that we started last week. So there's the idea of the Torah preceding the world, and the patriarchs were somehow sensitive to that Torah, and they were able to perceive, they were able to understand and realize what was in the Torah. So if we accept this for the moment, because at first time, even before the giving of the Torah at Sinai, people learned the Torah, as it's understood also from the famous phrase, Kiyem Avraham Avinu, Abraham, our father, kept et kol haTorah kula, the entire Torah, ad shelo nitna, before it was given. And in order to keep Torah, צריך ללמוד אותה, you have to learn the Torah. And similarly, ובוודאי שאברהם לימד את כל התורה כולו ליצחק בנו. Now, Abraham knew Torah and he learned it in order to keep it. Certainly taught it to Isaac. And Isaac taught it to Jacob and to his children. So if you've got this idea that there is a kind of primeval Torah that people are sensitive to, and they're studying, they're even keeping. What then, mahu achidush matan Torah, what's new about the giving of the Torah? Umevaya katuv. Now what the verse is explaining, that when it says, shahachidush, the new thing of vayadav elokim et kol advarim ha'ele, the idea that God spoke all these words, the matan Torah hu, that he spoke all these words at the giving of the Torah is she'al yedei zeh, that through this nitan hakoach l'chol echad v'echad m'Yisrael, there's given the power to every individual Jew she'b'chol adorot, in all the generations she'limud haTorah shelo, that his or her study of Torah yeh b'ofen d'lemo, will be in a way of lemo, right? So the crucial thing is the fact that the lemo is here saying, it's talking about a certain power that is given to each of us, and that this power given to each of us is summing through all the generations, and it's contained in this word lemo. Now it starts off saying, Ushnei Perushim Bazeh, there are two explanations of what that is. And later on, he gives a third explanation. So there are actually three explanations. So we're going to go through those explanations one by one. Perush echad, the first explanation is she'al yedei limud haTorah shelo, that through our study of Torah, yours and mine, every Jewish man and woman, who gorem, he causes she'hakadosh baruch hu yomar diburim eile, he causes that God is, so to speak, saying those same words. Now, I mentioned before the idea that when we go to shul, hopefully on the first day of Shavuot, on the coming Sunday, and they read the Torah from the Bima in the synagogue, and they read these Ten Commandments, it's as if God is saying the Ten Commandments all over again, and we're hearing the Ten Commandments from God. Now, in fact, that is a much broader concept. He kol ha-koreh v'shoneh, anyone who reads scripture, that's koreh means reading scripture, it could be the Torah, it could be the book of prophets, or the book of Psalms, and shoneh means reading Mishnah, that which is reading Mishnah could include also reading could also include reading Talmud. When we read that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Korev Shoneh Kenegdo, God is reading with us. So whenever we read something from the Torah, God is reading with us. So that's a fascinating concept. Let's just stop for a second and try to absorb that. There is a beautiful idea that the Rebbe sometimes mentions, that when we study the works of a Torah sage, like let's say Maimonides, right? So there's a campaign from the Rebbe to study the writings of Maimonides, the Rambam. So when we read the words of the Rambam, Dovev Siftei Yeshenim, the lips of those who sleep in the grave move. So it's as if the Rambam is reading with us when we read his teachings. Or if we study something from the Talmud, from the Mishnah, from the Code of Law, whoever wrote those words, or said those words, we are saying it, and that person saying it with us. Now here comes a further dimension. Not only is that person saying it with us, God is saying it with us. Because Torah, the study of Torah, is an interaction with the divine. So when we study Torah, we are interacting with the divine, and God himself is saying those same words of Torah with us. So that is the first meaning of the word le'emor. There are three meanings. And the first one is the way that God says the words of Torah with us. So on that point, would anyone like to raise any question or comment?
So can it apply to kind of, I'm really into Rabbi Moshe Cordovero and Rabbi Yosef Gikatiak. It applies to them as well.
The Kabbalists, yes.
Yeah.
Certainly. Yeah, absolutely.
What if you're reading in English?
I think it's the same thing, because the meaning which is there, you're absorbing the meaning, and the response is there in,
okay.
You know, it goes through the barrier. There is in Tractate Sota. Tractate Sota has 49 pages. And it's a custom to read it during to study it during the 49 days of the Omer. Mm-hmm. And part of it discusses which things have to be said in Hebrew. But there are lots of things there's some things which do have to be said in Hebrew, but there are many more things which can be said in any language. And so study of Torah, the natural way of studying Torah is to, if one can, to say the words in Hebrew and then translate them into the language that you understand. It even used to be that when they read the Torah, the Seder of the Week, in the synagogue, they would read a verse in Hebrew, and then someone called the Torgeman, the translator, would read the translation of the verse in Aramaic. And so everything was read twice, first in Hebrew and then in Aramaic. And that's one of the reasons why in the standard Hebrew edition of the Torah, the Aramaic translation is written next to it as well. So they had a kind of a standard translation into Aramaic, and they would read that verse by verse. But certainly if one doesn't understand the Hebrew, one reads in English, that is, one is certainly fulfilling the commandment of study of Torah. And when we are studying Torah, God studies with us.
Oh, great. Thank you.
Right. Any other points from anyone? Okay, we'll go back to the text. Now, we're in line 18. Da'al pi perek zeh, now according to this explanation, this first explanation, le'emor, saying, which implies le'emor la'cherim, saying to others, it's like telling others somehow, who, it means, she'adam halomet Torah, the person studying Torah, omer, it's interesting, omer la'hakadosh baruch hu, it's as if we say to God, kviyachol, so to speak, sheyachzor al hadiburim shelo, that he should repeat these words. So in other words, our speaking is also asking God to say it with us, and he does. Now that's one. So that's one explanation. That's one of the three explanations. V'od, then there's another point. Shelimuda Torah shel Adam, that the way that a person, man or woman, it says Adam, but it means man or woman, that when we study Torah, yeah, but often the lemma, that it should be in a way that we are repeating what God says. Lachzor et hadvarim she'akadosh baruch hu omer. We should be repeating the words that God says. So obviously, when we study a text of Torah, like from the five books of Moses, okay, so this is what God said, and we are now reading it, and we are repeating what God has said. Kamosha Katuv, as it's written, Ta'an l'shoni imratecha. Let my tongue repeat your words. We're going on to the next page. Shidiburei haTorah sheAdam omer, the words of Torah which a person says, heim imratecha, they are your divine words, God's words. Uloshoni ta'an, and it's my tongue which is repeating, ka'oneh achah haKoreh, as if we are saying it after God. We're repeating it after God. So it's like complementary to the first explanation. The first explanation is that God is saying the words after us. The second explanation is that we are saying the words after God. Now let's just consider this for a moment, because that means, you see, everything in Torah is really coming through the divine, even though in the Torah itself, the five books of Moses, a lot of it is what Moses says, but it's still coming from God. And similarly, in the books of the prophets, it might be a prophecy by Isaiah, but that prophecy by Isaiah is being said by God, and Isaiah is transmitting that prophecy. Then we come to the Mishnah and the Talmud, which is talking about the laws. And that also is really something coming from God. So the Mishnah and the Talmud are discussing the divine law. So the Rambam, Maimonides, when he codifies in a kind of a new order and a very clear style, he is presenting what the Mishnah and the Talmud say. That is also what he is codifying, is what the divine teaching is. So again, it's the divine teaching coming into the world. And similarly, as we go with Tehillah Bina, studying Yosef Jikatilia and other writings, Kabbalistic writings through the generations, these are all sacred spiritual teachings, and they are transmitting a divine teaching. Similarly, when we come to the time of the Baal Shem Tov, Rabbi Shneur Zalman of Ladi, and the other sages, the other leaders of the Lubavitch movement, the Rebbe himself, it is all transmitting a divine teaching. So therefore, when we study it, we are repeating what God says to us, and we're repeating it. So the first explanation of Le'amah is that what we say, we are asking God to say it as well, and God does say it. And the second explanation is what we say is in response to what God has said already, and we are repeating that. And we're repeating this statement by the divine. So all of this magnifies the tremendous, tremendous power that there is in the study of Torah. Now, is anyone would like to make a comment on this second dimension? We're all okay with it. Okay, let's go on with the further amplification that we have here. Now we have the third. Now this is line 2 on page 10. Ba'od perush by v'daber gomer le'mor, and another explanation of this first verse with its word le'mor saying at the end. She'vayedaber Elokim et kol hadvarim ha'ele. When it says that God said all these words, it's talking about Aseret HaDibrot, the Ten Commandments. Shehem klalut kol haTorah, which are the generality of the whole Torah. So we often, you know, we see the Ten Commandments depicted in a synagogue, and that is like the center of the Torah. It's not excluding the other 603 commandments, so to speak. There are 613 commandments altogether. So if these are 10, so what about the other 603? But they're all included in the Ten Commandments. And there was a great rabbi who lived in Egypt and then later on in Iraq, about 1,000 years ago, called Rabbi Saadia Gaon. And he showed the connection, the way each of the Ten Commandments relates to many other mitzvah of the Torah, so that ultimately the Ten Commandments include all the 613 commandments of the Torah. Now, so these Ten Commandments, the generality of the Torah, hu lema, they have the purpose of being said to, now, being said to what? Sha'aseret ha-dibrot, that the Ten Commandments, which is Torah shalamayla me'olam, which is Torah, which in itself initially is higher than the world, yum shechu, should be drawn down ba'asara ma'amarot, in the 10 sayings, shabahem nivra ha'olam, with which the world was created. Now, at the very beginning of the Torah, we have Bereshit in the beginning, and God said, Yehi Or, let there be lights, and Yehi Rakia, let there be a firmament, and so on. And there are 10 statements of which the last one is Nasa Adam, let's make man. So that these 10 statements, they are the key to the whole of existence. And so what this is saying is that the lema, the communication, should be from the 10 commandments of the Torah, which are divine commandments, obviously divine commandments. They should feed in to the 10 statements which create the world. Now, obviously, the 10 statements are also divine because it's God saying, let there be this and let there be that, and making it happen. But when we look at the world, it's very easy to forget that it has a divine source. And many people live a substantial part of their lives looking at the world in a completely instrumental way. How can I make more money? How can I do this? How can I enjoy myself in this way, enjoy myself in that way? And they don't think about the fact that everything they see in the world is really an expression of the divine and is created by the divine. And as Rabbi Shneur Zalman emphasized in Tanya, it's not that just that it's created by the divine 5,782 years ago, but it is something which at this moment God is keeping in existence. And there's a spiritual flow from God all the time, making everything around us be maintained in existence. However, many people don't notice that. So what the third dimension, the third explanation of lema is that the flow from the Ten Commandments, which are obviously divine, right? The whole way in which they are expressed, the sound of the shofar, the fire, the smoke, and God saying these words, it's clear that these are a divine teaching. So this divine, this unmistakably divine teaching should feed into the ambiguous world of nature around us, so that we see the divine dimension of nature as well. Va'alderech zen, in the same way, or in a parallel way, hu belimud haTorah shel haAdam, it relates to the way in which you and me study Torah. She'u ba'ofen davyada be'gom elemo, which also has the same quality that it's God's words which then have to be said. She'midibu haTorah shelo, that from our Torah study, nasa amira, there is made a statement, amira, a saying, hamshachat ha'ashba'a lamata, which means a flow of this godliness should flow below into the physical world. So this is an astonishing concept, that when we are studying Torah, it should be affecting the physical world. Now then comes the question, which is then going to be addressed by the Rebbe, v'tzarich lavin ma keshev v'shaychut kol inyanim hanal v'lemo. How do these three interpretations of lemo fit together? But what we'll do at this minute, we're going to stop sharing, and we're going to examine more clearly this third concept, and make sure we understand the three concepts. Then we'll continue with the discourse and see how it is talking about the interrelation between the three interpretations. So let's first start with this third one. So the third one is that when we learn Torah, and we learn about the mitzvot, and we keep the mitzvot, all that has an effect on the world. Learning of Torah is not only that we are intellectually learning the Torah, we are as human beings of flesh and blood, with different aspects in us and different qualities. When we study the Torah, that Torah is in fact affecting us, and it's affecting the way that we relate to the world. And then we're doing mitzvot, which come out of the Torah, and we're doing mitzvot with the world. Now, the fact that we are using something in the world in order to do a mitzvah, like at this moment, you and I, we are using this very complex system of the internet, which, as I understand, when it was originally developed, it was something to do with warfare, and then it was broadened into a system that could be used by civilians, and it can now be used for study of Torah in a wonderful way, thank God. So that is, we are, in that sense, the Torah is affecting this entire structure, that in some sense there is a kind of a structure of existence which we are using at this moment, which includes the whole electricity system and other systems, which the way in which the Wi-Fi network works, and the great storage systems, which are the key to the what they call the cloud. So all that is being affected by the fact that we're studying Torah in that domain, and it's transforming that domain. It's making that domain into a domain which is carrying something sacred. And so it is too with all aspects of our lives. When it comes to Shabbat and we get the house a little bit more tidy for Shabbat, we put a white tablecloth on the table, like Shabbat candles, have two halot, have kosher wine, make kiddush and so on. That's transforming the home into a beautiful Shabbat home. Even before that, the fact that the home has got mezuzot on the doors, and we keep the laws of modesty and so on in the home. All this is something making the home into a sacred domain. So it's not just the study of Torah as something intellectual. It's something which moves out into the world and is transforming the world. So that's this third path. So the third meaning of lemo. So the first meaning of lemo is that when we study Torah, God studies it with us. God is, so to speak, repeating what we say. The second meaning of lemo is the other way around. When we study Torah, we're repeating what God says. And the third one is not that we are, in fact, affecting the world, the Torah that we learned, and the mitzvot that we keep coming out of that Torah are affecting the world around us. Okay, so are there any points arising out of this? Is that all straightforward for everyone? Regards from Rabbi Lou, by the way, he's in New York and very busy, so he's not able to join us. Okay, so let's go a bit further. So now we're going to try and examine how these three interpretations of lemo fit together. And we're going to do it on the basis of a discourse by the Rebbe Maharash, the fourth Lubavitcher Rebbe, called Reb Shmuel. And in a discourse that he said, now this discourse that we're studying was said 1969, and he said a discourse in 1869, which was So that was in 1869 that he said a discourse. And after discussing the idea of this word lemo, the question what it brings, what it means. Now, he quotes a very interesting midrash. Mevi Masha Katu beYalkut. There's a collection of midrash called Yalkut Shimoni. It's a collection of midrash. And it says there, Keshahaya HaKadosh Baruch Hu Medaber, when God would speak, Haya kol echad mi Yisrael omer, each individual Jew said, Imi hadibur medaber, God is speaking to me individually. Shenema, as it says, Anochi Hashem alakecha, I am the Lord thy God. If we're going to give an exact Old English translation to the word alakecha, it's thy God, Lushon Yachid in the singular. So God is saying to each person, I am thy God, you in the singular, right? English has lost that distinction between the singular and the plural in the second person. Other languages have it. There's two et vous, for example, in French. And of course, Hebrew has it, Elokecha and Elokechem, thy God and your God in the plural. So the fact is that God is saying these words to each of us as an individual. Umavaya, and he explains, the fourth Lubavitcher Rebbe explains, the Zel Mashe Di'itabe Midrash, that's what it says in another Midrash, I think, Al Pasuk, on the verse, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am the Lord your God, these words, Shahakol Shashamu Ba'aseret HaDibrot, that the voice that they heard in the Ten Commandments, Hayalefi Kocho Shel Kol Echad. It was according to the strength of each individual. Habachurim Lefi Kocham, the young men who are strong, they heard the voice according to their energy, which means like a loud voice, presumably. Vahasakenim Lefi Kocham, the older people, they heard it according to their strength. V'haktanim l'fi kochan, and the little children, they heard it according to their strength. So that means it was like an individual communication, tailor-made for each individual. So that's what these two midrashim are saying. Let me just take this... second midrash, that's number 21. The second midrash is in a different midrash. Oh, it's also in Yalkut Shimoni. Okay, but it's also found in a different collection of midrash. So we have these two midrashim. One is focusing on the fact that I'm the Lord thy God in the singular, and the other one is without bringing a scriptural proof, but it's saying that the way in which the Torah was transmitted by God was individually tailored to each person. Now, v'yesh lomar, and one can suggest the mahatamim al zeh, one of the reasons why, shemevi gamet ma'amar midrash, that the fourth Rebbe, he brings the first point that God is speaking to me, and then he brings the second point, which is that God speaks to each individual in a singular, tailor-made way. It's because through this you can understand. The idea that God is speaking to me as an individual, to each individual man and woman individually. It's not only as concerns the soul, but also as refers to the body. Because the difference between young men, old people, and children is because of the body. The body is different. It's the same soul. A person is so born as a baby, there is this soul. The baby grows into a child, then into a teenager, then into a young person, then a mature person, then an old person. It's all the same soul, the same neshama. But the body is changing. The body has different kinds of limitation. So a little child, if there's something too loud, the child gets frightened or it can't absorb it. And then it gets older and it can. And then when it's more elderly again, it gets more sensitive and can't take the heavy metal. But that is because of the physical body. Okay, we might say, you know, it has to do with the mind as well, but it's basically to do with the body and the fact of the body getting older. Whereas when we have the idea of God is speaking to me individually, that relates to the soul. Now, this division, this identifying the way in which the giving of the Torah is both to the soul and to the body is a very important pivot in this discourse. Because the way that I understand it is that when it's talking about the effect, the third interpretation of Le'emor, is that the Torah that we learn has an effect. So the first level of effect in the outer world is on our body. Our body is somehow changing because of the Torah that we're learning. One of the ideas, it's not specifically mentioned in this discourse, but the idea that because a person is thinking about Torah in their brain, the folds of their brain subtly change. There's a certain effect in the physicality of the being of the person. And then the tastes of the person might change, the aesthetic of the person might change. There are various aspects that might change or be changed by the fact that they're studying Torah. And of course, ideally, their lifestyle changes. We learn something in the Torah about a certain mitzvah, what we should do, what we shouldn't do. So that affects the way we actually behave. So it is making us behave in a different way. And so that physical expression becomes a new way in which we are expressing the words of the Torah. So that's like the third way. And the way that I understand it is that that has to do with this distinction between the soul and the body. Because once we talk about the Torah affecting the body, we're going into the idea, the third way of understanding, that there's an effect on the outer world. There's an effect on the 10 sayings which made the world. So where there's something radiating outwards from us. And the first level of radiation is our own physical body. Now we come to a very, very beautiful thing. And so before we begin then, I'd just like to ask if there are any comments that anyone has to make. Hi, Liran, nice seeing you. Okay, we now come into something very beautiful and let's see if we're able to explain it and understand it together. So here we are discussing what the Rebbe Maharash, the fourth Lubavitcher Rebbe, explains in his discourse about this idea of the God speaking the Ten Commandments, Le'emor, and what it means, and also the idea that God is speaking individually to each person. So the fourth Rebbe explains in his discourse, Hatam al zeh, the reason that the Ten Commandments was in such a way that imi hadibur medaber, with me individually, God is speaking. B'lishon yachid, anochi Hashem lekecha, I am thy God, l'chol echad v'echad b'fnei atzmo, to each individual man and woman. Now, even though the Rebbe adds in brackets, even though every single commandment in the Torah is to every individual, ובכל התורה, and mostly in the Torah, נאמר, אני השם אלוקיכם, I'm God, your God, in the plural. Nonetheless, God says, I am your God in the plural, and nonetheless, it applies to each one of us individually. But it's even more emphatic that in the Ten Commandments, it says, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am thy God, and the commandments are in the singular. Lo tirtzach, do not murder. It's in the singular, not in the plural. That's each person is individually being addressed. So that relates to our Pima de Itabi Al Kutsham. What we, 1 second, please. Sorry, now. According to what we learn in the Yalkut, in this collection of Midrash, Dibishat Matan Torah, at the time of the giving of the Torah, Shitef HaKadosh Baruch Hu et Shemo, God shared his name B'chol Echad V'Echad Mi'Yisrael, with every single Jew. Now that's an amazing thing. God is sharing his divine name, the tetragrammaton, Yud Kei Vav Kei, with each of us. Now, it quotes a verse to explain this. Zeh ma shekatuv, Rechev Elokim Ribotayim, the chariot of God in the myriads, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, that's God's name, Bam, God's name is in them. Ba means in them, Sinai Bakodesh, at Mount Sinai. But so the Kemosha Adni Bam, just as God's name is Bam, is in them, in the angels. Shebishmo shel kol malach mushutaf besofo shmo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because at the end of the name of every angel, it puts God's name, Aleph Lamed, like Aleph Lamed means God, it's the name of God. Michael, right? The angel Michael, the angel Michael. Now the Aleph Lamed is God's name. Gabriel, that's also, it's got God's name at the end. Raphael, that's another one. So each of these names has God's name. So the angels have got God's name within them. Came by Matan Torah. Similarly, at the giving of the Torah, Sinai Bakodesh, at Mount Sinai, that holy place, Shitef HaKadosh Baruch Hu et Shemo, God joined his name or shared his name, B'chol Echad V'Echad Mi'Yisrael, every single Jewish man and woman. Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am the Lord your God. In other words, what it's saying now is even more. It's saying that God is giving his name to each of us. And in this discourse by the Rebbe Maharash from 1869, it continues, since the name of God is joined with the names of the angels, they are completely abnegated towards the divine, the divine name which is within them. And the same thing happens with the Jewish people. Since God shares his name with the Jewish people, with each one of us, ideally, that's all I can say in trying to translate this, they are in complete abnegation to God, as the discourse discusses at length. So in other words, the divine name is inside us. And because the divine name, the Yudke Vavke, the tetragrammaton, is inside us, we are batel, we are abnegated to the divine name. Now, now the name of God that he joins with Israel, with us, with the Jewish people, who lemaila yoter is higher mishmo shemushutaf b'malachim than the name joined with the angels. The b'malachim k'tiv adni bam, with the angels in that verse that we quoted, it said, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud is in them. And it explains in Tanya that the Malachim are called Elohim. And the word Elohim and Aleph Dalet Nun Yud in general are the same kind of spiritual level. Avo b'Yisrael k'tiv, but when it's talking about the Jewish people, every man and woman, it says ki chelek havaya imo, the portion of Yud Ke Vav Ke is Amo, is his people. Chelek m'shem havaya, that there is a portion of, and in fact the entire name Yud Ke Vav Ke is within each individual. Even though the idea that each person has this portion of God in him and her, Hayagam Kodem Matan Torah, was also before the giving of the Torah, Lo he is Ebegilu Kol Kach, that wasn't so revealed. Ki Inyan Dechelek Havai Amo, because the idea of, now this is very important, the idea that the portion of God is his people, Hum Mitzad HaNeshama, is because of the soul. Uyiridat haneshama lemata, when the soul descends below, haguf ma'alim u'mastir, the body conceals that divine name. It conceals aneshama, and it conceals the soul, v'al shem avaya sheba, and it conceals the tetragrammaton, which is within the soul. However, this is what happened at the giving of the Torah, this change. Ubamatan Torah, but at the giving of the Torah, al yedei hadibur, through those words, Anochi avai lekecha, I am the Lord your God, nimshach ze begilui, that came out in a revealed way. So we've got the idea that the soul is has the imprint, as it were, of the divine tetragrammaton. But that before the giving of the Torah, that was hidden. And after the giving of the Torah, that was more revealed. B'chamavor b'lekutei Torah, as it explains in Rabbi Shneur Zalman's Hasidic teachings, the Perush Anochi Hashem Elokecha, when it says, I am the Lord thy God, it means shahavaya, that the tetragrammaton, yemeye umitgale b'cha, will shine and be revealed in you. Kol kach, so much so, ad shiye nikhal shemecha, so it will be called on your name, Elokecha, thy God. Now, thy God is an amazing statement. We have to understand the force that he's saying here. It's like saying the God of Abraham. The God of Abraham is a phenomenal concept. Abraham is a very great tzaddik, very great righteous person. And God is revealed to him in a wonderful way. And so we talk about the God of Abraham, Elokei Avraham, the God of Abraham. And there's a Yiddish song by Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Berdichev, Gott von Avraham, the idea of the God of Abraham. Now, what it says in Tanya, and what's really being referenced, it's being referred to here, is the idea that God attaches himself to each one of us. You can say your own name, the God of me, your name, the God of so-and-so, the same way the God of Abraham, because God is attaching himself to us. Now, how can God attach himself to us in any way that we could compare with the way that it says the God of Abraham? So it explains this in Tanya chapter 47, that Abraham achieved this through his own power, and we're achieving it through the power that God opened by the giving of the Torah. So the giving of the Torah is opening the door that Hashem can be joined with us. And the power that I am the Lord thy God, the power for this, that even after the fact that the soul is enclosed in the body, nonetheless the name Yudke Vavke will be revealed in it, so much so that the person is called by that name, in other words, Elokei, whoever it is. Yes, each one of you and each one of us, the God of each one of us. Now, the fact that that is able to happen, how can it happen that God can join himself to us in that way? We're so coarse. We've got such a, look, I only speak for myself. You're all very elevated. But a person can say to themselves, look what a coarse person I am. Now, the force comes who me'atzmut or ein sof. That comes from the essence of the infinite, shalamayla gam b'shem havaya, which is higher than the name Yudkei Vavkei. Now that actually comes from the word anochi. Anochi, I am the Lord your God. So it's that I which is the essence, which is beyond, and that enables the name Yudkei Vavkei to join with us. Because the name Havaya, the name Yudkei Vavkei, the tetragrammaton in itself, is revealed in a way which is above. But in order that it should be revealed below, in our soul, and the soul is in a physical body, is through drawing from the essence of the radiance of the infinite, which is higher than the tetragrammaton, because anything which is higher is able to come down lower, and that's what it means, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am the Lord your God. That the power for this, that Yudkei Vavkei should be our force, Elokecha, our God, like the God of Abraham, the God of each one of us, who mibchinat anochi, that comes from anochi, which is from I, which is higher even than the name Yudkei Vavkei. All right, now this is very strong stuff, and let's just see that we actually are able to hear it, and it means something. I mean, the discourse goes on further, and hopefully we'll learn a little bit further as well. And it's very beautiful. But at this point, are we understanding this basic thing, that what is happening is that Yudkei Vavkei, the tetragrammaton, which is a revelation of godliness, is actually being imparted to each of us in a very, very tangible way. And as we'll see, hopefully, it's both in the soul and in the physical body, that the physical body also has this sanctity. And the way in which the soul and the body are able to embody, to express this divine tetragrammaton is because we have a relationship with the divine essence, which is expressed in the words, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am the Lord your God. And that I is the essence. And that enables Yudkei Vavkei to connect with each of us in such a way that God becomes our God, thy God, Elokecha, like the God of Abraham. So there's the God of each one of us. Okay, are there any questions on this?
So what is it specifically that causes the tetragrammaton to be within us? Just the presence of the atmos of Or Ein Sof, or is there an action there?
I think that it's the essence of the divine that enables it to bond with us. And what was happening at the giving of the Torah was a sort of a revelation of the divine, which we saw that revelation in a very intense way temporarily. But due to the fact, now I'm just suggesting this, you know, this is how it occurs to me, to Ilabina. Due to the fact that it's coming from such an exalted source, Anochi, the divine essence, that bond remained with us. And so then after the giving of the Torah, as the discourse said, we had it before, but it wasn't revealed. And the revelation might have been temporary, but in fact, there's a sense in which it's permanent. And so we have that divine quality within us all the time. Incidentally, another place that one is able to read about this is in Tanya, in the Letter on Repentance, chapter 4. The end of chapter 4 also talks about the divine name inside each person. And in the prayer book, the prayer that we say on Shabbat or a festival before Baruch Sha'amah is the 26 Ki le'olam chasdo, hodo l'Hashem ki tov, praise be God who is good. Ki le'olam chasdo, because his mercy, his kindness, it's forever. And there are 26 similar verses. Now, 26 is the numerical value of the divine name. Yud is 10, He is 5, Vav is 6, and then He is 5. So that adds up to 26. And in the prayer book, you will see that after the first 10, it's got a letter Yud in the middle. And after the next 5, it's got a letter He. And so, in fact, it's expressing the divine name. And while one is saying that in the day, in the Sabbath and festival prayers, one can think to oneself of this idea that it has in Hasidic teachings, the way the divine name is inside us. And so it's that divine name inside us, and we are praying to God. So it's the divine merging with the divine. Right. Okay, any other point? Okay. So let's try and take it a little bit further. Now let's go to section Dalet. Now the idea of the name Yudke Bavke in each person is explained in the discourse by the Maharash, that the Yud of the name Yudke Vavke in the Jew is the Chochmah, the wisdom in the soul. The He is the understanding in the soul, to understand one thing from another. And what does it mean, one thing from another? It means understanding the way that godliness is expressed in all existence, the way the Baal Shem Tov explained what it says in Tanya and Shayichu Be'emunah, the first chapter, that there is godliness expressed in everything in the world. And so it's understanding that. So that is contemplating the way that godliness is expressed in everything that is there in the world. And then we come to, that's the hey, and then there's the vav in the divine name. Those are the emotions of the person, the emotions of the soul. And the final hey is the lower fear, Kabbalat Ol, the way the soul is ready to accept the yoke of heaven. And then he continues that not only, that's in this discourse by the Maharash, by the fourth rabbi, not only is the divine name in the soul, it's also in the body. Because the head is like a letter Yud, and the body is like a letter Vav. And the five fingers of the hand and the five fingers of the five toes on the feet are the two heys. So there we have Yudke Vavke. And he adds that you can also say that we don't have five fingers. We have 10 fingers and 10 toes. And that's because there's a way of writing a Hebrew word where you write it spelling the letters in full. So you don't just write hey, you write hey, hey. It's like you spelt out the word hey. And so there are two heys. When you spell out the hey in full, there are two heys, and those are the 10 fingers and the 10 toes. So that means that there is the divine name both in the soul and also in the physical body. And the very fact that we have 10 fingers is an expression of the divine name, the hey and the hey, which makes the first hey, and the hey and the hey, which makes the last hey. Hate making the 10 toes. So this is an incredible idea that our physical being is actually an expression of the divine in this way. And of course, our spiritual being, our soul, is as well. So what the new thing that it's speaking about here is that not only the soul incorporates the divine name, but also the body incorporates that. And it explains here that the way in which the body is able to incorporate the divine name is because it's the very inwardness of the divine name that's being revealed. And that happens when you spell out the divine name. So it's not just hey, but hey and hey, but that's that spelling out, which is called writing it in full. That's the Hebrew expression. It means one gets to a deeper dimension of that divine name, and therefore that deeper dimension is able to express itself in the physical body. And that means in section Hey, Now, when it says Vayadaber Lehem, or that God spoke these words, saying, it means that at the giving of the Torah, the power was given to every single Jewish man and woman. That when we read in the Torah, God is reading with us. And similarly with the mitzvah, through the fact that a Jewish person does a mitzvah, he's causing God also to do the mitzvah. That's a famous concept. And the power that each one of us has, that through our Torah study, Torah, God reads with us, he studies the Torah with us, and also keeps the mitzvah that we do, is through the fact that it is, I am the Lord your God, thy God in the singular. In other words, the empowerment comes to us from this idea of this very intense closeness that we have with God, because I, God in the singular, am giving you the Torah. And so this also causes the way that the learning of the Torah that the person does, what we had right at the beginning, that this causes God to say the words with us, also is a result from the fact that we have this divine name inside us, and that gives us the possibility that we are able to affect the divine in that way, that when we learn Torah, God says the words of the Torah, and also because it's also through this that we're able to have the third effect, which is the way in which when we learn Torah and keep Torah, that is having an effect in the world as well. So I think that's as much as we're able to actually contain at the moment, but it's a very, very beautiful image that there are these three dimensions. There's the way in which when we learn Torah, God is learning Torah with us. When we learn Torah, we are repeating what God says. And when we learn Torah, we are having an effect on the world. And all of this is because both God speaks to each one of us individually, and he speaks to us not only as an individual soul, but also as an individual body, that one person is 20 years old, another one is 60 years old, another one's 90 years old, that's another one 6 years old. And God speaks to each of us individually according to our capacity. And also that the divine name is imparted to us. And the way the divine name is imparted to us is both to the soul and to the body. And the way in which that's able to take place is because it's Anochi, I, the essence of the divine, am thy God in the singular, and therefore God is sharing and imparting through this essence his divine name with each of us in a very intense way. And because of that, we have that power of all those three dimensions, that when we study God, when we study Torah, God is studying with us, and the study of our Torah is a repetition of what God says. So it's a divine transaction that minute from God to us as well, and also the way in which we have an effect in the world, which is transforming the world, making the world into a realm where the divine is truly revealed, as it will be with the coming of Mashiach Tzidkenu. May that happen now, mamash, before the festival of Shavuot, with the help of Hashem.
Amen. Thank you. I've not been for a few weeks, but I think today there was a real difference. Everything was kind of a lot clearer, and I think, you know, it was really good. You kind of stopped regularly and you repeated the same points and summarized, gave lots of summaries regularly. I found it a lot easier to follow today. Okay. So thank you.
That's lovely.